You can turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 15. We'll be looking at a couple of scriptures there. Appreciate the pastor giving us the opportunity to minister in his absence. Tonight you've got the C team. Maybe the pastor will be back and we'll have the A team back. We used to have three teams of ball at LCA, the A team, the B team, and the C team. I think David's first go-round on the ball team was on the C team, David Zacco, years ago. We don't have that many boys anymore to make an A and a B and a C team. want to look with you. We appreciate these visitors, these two gentlemen and these two ladies have been with us this morning, this evening. We're glad you came back and trust the Lord will bless you while you're here. Praise the Lord. We want to look at a couple verses here in chapter 15 of Romans. We're going to look at 5 and 6 and verse 13 and verse 33. So verse 5 of chapter 13 of Romans. Now the God of peace and Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I ask you, Lord, that you will be with us this evening. Let your spirit speak what you would desire to say to these people. Let their ears hear what you would desire to say to them. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you that your word does not return void. In your name we pray. Amen. I didn't get Brother Darrell a title slide, but I thought of a title, Now, Now, Now. We use that phrase sometimes, Now, Now. Kind of a wake up. You might say it to your dog that's doing something it's not supposed to do, or you might say it to your kid, or you might say it to somebody who said something that they should. Now, 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 hold on, stop. Now we need to do a little bit different. Okay, it's kind of an expression. You might use that word now in a couple different ways. About the moment that you're in, like where do you live now, or what do you want to do now? You know, it could be kind of talking about the time. It could also be talking about now we can go. Now, my first impulse was to do this. We use now in different capacities, and Paul here in these verses, you know, what's his expression of now? Each of these verses is a prayer. He's praying. Now, God, is it now? In this moment, we need it right now. Is he being immediate? Or is he saying, building off of what I just said, now we understand? You know, I think either way it works out. But oftentimes when we pray, there's a now emphasis in our prayer. Lord, we need now for this to happen. And God doesn't mind for us to come to him with an immediate request of now. Lord, now we need you to move. Now we need you to take action. Now we need you to step into this situation. He is not bothered. He is not bothered when we come to him and we say, Lord, we need this now. We need this now. We need you to move now. And so in each of these prayers that Paul is praying for these Roman believers, this whole book has gone before, and now we've come to the end. Chapter 15 and chapter 16 are kind of closing down what Paul is saying to these believers, what Paul is saying to them. And so he's got to the end of what he wants to say, and he recognizes that nothing I have said is going to matter if God doesn't make it real to them. If God doesn't make... Now, everything that he said does matter because it was put in the Word of God. But in the time of his writing, he's recognizing that the things that I've said, the things that I have related to these believers in Rome about, now it needs to be made real in their hearts by God himself. Now. You notice in each of these prayers, he is praying to God, and he attributes a character of God, and the request he makes, he's making it based on the character of God. In these verses, he's looking at these requests that he has, and in each of them, he appeals to God himself, the God of patience and consolation. Now, the God of hope. And then in verse 33, now the God of peace. You know, we appeal to God's character and his person and who he is in our prayers. And so we do that often. We will often pray around this altar, and I will say, Lord, we know you're a healer. We'll use that. Lord, we know you're a deliverer. Be a deliverer for this person. And it is right for us as believers when we pray to appeal to the very nature and the character of God and who he is. It is right for us to call out to him by name. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, we're counting on you. Jehovah Shalom, our peace, we are looking to you. It is right for us to call out to God and to appeal to his character and who he is. When we have great needs, we need a great God to come in to those, move in those situations. The object here was the divine character of God. He was appealing to God himself. God revealed. He had just revealed God's character, God's ways, his work in salvation and all of that to these believers. And he's saying now the God of patience and consolation. Now the God of hope. He is the God of patience and consolation. God was a God who was patient in waiting. He waited for the fulfillment of his plan. It says from the foundations of the earth. He's the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. But there were thousands of years between the foundations of the earth and Jesus Christ being on the cross and salvation being purchased and that lamb being slain. God was patient in waiting for the fulfillment of his plan. He was patient in enduring those that were a part of his plan. In the fullness of time, it says Jesus came. In the fullness of time, but there was that enduring that he had to go through the fall, Adam and Eve. Cain, Israel's backsliding, the God of patience and consolation. He is a God of patience, and he's a God of consolation. He had to endure that. He's a God of hope. He's a God of hope. Look at nature itself, the cycles of nature, that here we're in the fall, everything is dying. Everything is going to go dormant for wintertime, but there will be spring. There is a springtime coming. There is a hope. There is a time when things will be made new. He gives us oil of joy for mourning. He gives us beauty for ashes. He's the God that promised Abraham, I am going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make of you a great nation. And he had a lot of patience with Abraham. He had a lot of patience with Abraham. Abraham was, he failed in many capacities as he was looking for that promise, as he was looking for that hope. But the Bible says that God gave him hope because it says he hoped against hope. When there was no hope, he still hoped. Now, God had to encourage him and come along and say, yes, I am going to make you. In chapter 12, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. In chapter 17, he had to say it again. He said it, I believe, five times. He had to come back to Abraham and restate his covenant promise. I'm going to give you a son. And we talked about Sarah this morning laughing. Abraham laughed too, because they hoped against hope. It just can't be. But he's a God of hope. He's a God of hope. He's the God of peace. In God, there's no disturbance. You know, peace is opposite. What's opposite of peace? It's a disturbance. It's a conflict. It's a difficulty. It's a trial. It's a division. But he's the God of peace. In him, there's no disturbance. In him, there is no conflict. In him, there is no sin. He's never shocked. He's never disturbed. He's never unsure. He's never wavering. He's a God of peace. You know, there are some people that are just kind of steady. Brother Jarvis is one of those guys. You know, when you're around him, you just know he's just confident. He's peaceful. He knows that God's going to work it out. He has a peace and a steadiness about him. And then there's other people that aren't quite as peaceful. When things are unraveling and things don't quite seem to be the way they need to be, Brother Jarvis has that quality that God has instilled in him. And he trusts in the God of peace. You know, when we pray, we need to put our prayers and we need to appeal to God and who he is and what he is. We're looking to him, and so we call out to him for who he is. And so that's what Paul does here. Now the God of patience and consolation. Now the God of hope. Now the God of peace. I want to look with you first at this prayer in verse 13. Look at this one first. Now the God of hope fill you with all. I like that word, all. A-double-L, all. Fill you with all joy and peace. Oh my goodness. All we want? All you can eat. My Papa Gilpin, he said he went into a place in Florida many years ago. They had a sign on the roadside that said, "All orange juice, all you can drink for 5 cents. He said he sat down, he ordered a glass of orange juice for 5 cents, and he drunk it down, and he handed it back and said, "I'll have another one." And they said, "That'll be 5 cents." He said, "I thought the sign said all you can drink for 5 cents. That was all you could drink for 5 cents. If you want more, you got to pay 5 more cents. Sounds like false advertising to me. But God of all, he fill you with all. Now, folks, we just don't quite have that concept of all joy. Fill you with all joy and peace. All joy. We spend our life, I do, I fret, I get downhearted, I get discouraged. But God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants to fill us with all joy and peace. Not with a little bit of joy to go along with our discouragement. Not a little bit of peace to go along with our anxiety and trouble. He says, "I want to fill you with all joy and peace. I don't want you to have any of that in there. Let's get the discouragement out. Let's get the discontent out. Let's get the sadness out. Let's get the sorrow out. Let's get the despondency out. Let's move all that away." He wants to fill us with all joy and peace. Talk about filling up your radiator, you know, 50% mix. Years ago, you had to mix it yourself. Now they help us. We're mathematically deficient to do that these days. And so they just sell it to you. You buy the water from the auto parts store. 50% coolant and 50% water. But God says, "No, I don't want it to be 50. No, Paul's saying, I don't want 50-50. I want it 100% joy, 100% peace. We don't have to go through life. Paul is saying, I want you to have all the joy, all joy and all peace in believing. Where does our joy and our peace come from? It comes from our faith in Jesus Christ. All joy and peace in believing. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if our faith is in Him, we'll have all joy. We'll have all peace. Even when the world is falling apart around us, we'll have the peace that passes all understanding. Even when everything seems to be grief and sorrow around us, there's something inside of me that is not of myself. It's not of my making. But Paul is saying you can have all joy and all peace. When everything seems to be not be right, the right circumstances for joy or the right circumstances for peace, the Christian can have a divine joy and peace when our faith and our confidence is in God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now these verses before this verse were about Gentiles and Jews. There could be some that make it and some that don't. Some that could be part of the family of God and some that could not. But Paul is saying, no, that's all over with now. That separation between Jew and Gentile, that's no longer a thing. He can fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Everybody has the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, have the sorrow and brokenness of sin taken away from their life and be given all joy and peace, and that ye may abound in hope. We've got a hope. What's Paul praying for? May the God of hope, I want God to do this for you, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Let your faith produce in you joy and peace. He wants God to fill you with joy and peace, that ye may abound in hope. That ye may abound in hope. To get excess of hope, a hopeful aspect. He wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing, give you faith in Jesus Christ, fill you with joy and peace that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we fail to understand and recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily life of giving us hope. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that caused that martyr in past days or even today in other countries to say, my hope is in Jesus and not in this life. I'm abounding in hope. I have hope when I'm being persecuted, when I'm being put down, when I am being worked against by the enemy. I have hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a divine hope that we have in Him. There's a divine hope we have in Him. You know that the office of the Holy Ghost is there. How is He going to work? How is He going to fill us and cause us to abound in hope? Well, what did Jesus say he was for? He came to be a comforter. A comforter is going to give me hope. A comforter is going to give me peace. I remember as a kid, and the nights of being sick, and where was my hope? Where was my comfort? Mama. Got to sleep with Mama when you were sick. Hope. Not feeling good. Not sure about how it's going to go. Got a fever, but I got Mama. You know what? Better than Mama, I got the Holy Ghost. Not sure how it's going to go, not sure what's going to happen next, but I know I have hope because I got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. All of those things, joy and peace, faith, that we can make it. The Holy Spirit has been given. He said, I'm sending you another comforter, someone to be with you, someone to keep you. You are never alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Your life is not based on chance, and it's not based on your good efforts and your good character, but it's based on the character of Christ Jesus. It's based on the power of the Holy Ghost, and by that, the Holy Ghost awakens within me. He awakens within me. He fosters within me a hope that I can't muster up myself. When you feel despondent, when I feel discouraged, it's not because the Holy Ghost is not doing his job. It's because I'm kind of overriding that with my own personality and my own frailty and my own weakness. But if I let the Holy Ghost do his work in me, he'll rise up within me a faith, an understanding, a realization that the victory comes. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we have hope in him, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And he gives me hope. The Holy Ghost was sent to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And sometimes that truth is something I need said to myself. Not lead me into all truth that's gonna be, you know, monumental, earth nation changing for the USA, but monumental and person changing for me. That he speaks to me and says to me, I'm with you always, even to the end. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And those words of encouragement that the Holy Ghost brings back to me to give me hope. Give us a divine hope. He gives me a divine hope for my personal future. For my personal future. That God's in control. He's going to keep me. He's going to sustain me. And Paul said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. He doesn't want our faith to wane. He doesn't want our joy to give way to the lies of the enemy. But he wants us to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, the power of the Holy Ghost. It takes power sometimes to get past what's causing us to not have joy and peace. It takes power sometimes. And it's not willpower, though. It's not willpower. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that says to me, my personal future is secure in Christ Jesus. My personal future is in his hands, and he's got it all under control, and I don't have to worry. My personal future is, he's laid it out, he's set the course, and I've just got to trust him, and his will be done in my life. My personal future, I can count on him to see me through. They may fill you with all hope, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. My personal future, the future of the church. Sometimes the enemy comes in and says, this faith, this church, it's not going to make it. It's not going to be anything. I've heard people say things about this church. You may as well put Ichabod over the door down there at that church. No. The future of this church has hope because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Because of what he has done. Because he is here. Because he's a part of it. There is hope. There is hope. Paul prayed for them, the God of hope fill you with all hope. We need the God to do that for us. We need him to do it immediately, now. The God of hope. Fill me with all hope. You know, when we pray for individuals that need deliverance, Lord, you're a deliverer, deliver. Lord, you're a healer, heal. Lord, you're a comforter, comfort. God of hope, fill you with hope. Looking back at verse 5, he said, now the God of patience Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus. Notice he looked to the person of God and his qualities, and then he said, according to Christ Jesus. In verse 13, he said, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Every time we pray, it's all him. It's all him. According to Christ Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, grant you to be like-minded. Grant you to be like-minded. In this chapter, Paul just finished talking about that there was some division about eating of meats and strong brothers and weak brothers, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But Paul said, now though, we need the God of patience and consolation to grant you to be like-minded, to have the unity of mind according to Christ Jesus. And then verse 6, he goes on. Here's the completion of what Paul was praying about. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. The God of patience and consolation grant you. Only God can bring the unity we need. God grant you. Grant you. Only God can bring the unity, but you're going to be one mind. Not necessarily that we're all thinking the exact same thoughts, but we have the right Christ-like attitude one towards another. That with one mind and with one mouth, that all the souls that are saved, all the Spirit-filled churches would unite in worship of our Savior. There were differences about what they were eating and drinking, but the one common theme was we all have the same Savior. He was patient with us. He was comforting towards us. And he saved us to bring us together to give him glory. To give him glory. To give, to exalt him, and to lift him up. And, you know, that's what God did. He looked at a people that were hopeless, people that were without consolation, and he said, I'm going to bring them consolation through Christ Jesus, and I'm going to make of them one. I'm going to make of them one. And so Paul's saying, I want you to be together in this. I want you to be together in this, that God would give you that one voice of worshiping and glorifying him. And that's what God needs for us to do. Lord, bring us together here as a church. This weekend, on Saturday, we're going to have an opportunity for us to be like-minded, to have one mind and one mouth to glorify God, as we do this outreach on Saturday. And that's our prayer. Now the God of patience and consolation grant us all to be like-minded. Let us as a church work together to see his will accomplished in those that we are able to touch this weekend. Now we get to that last one. Now the God of peace. Now he appeals to the God of peace, that the peace that God brings. He's the God of all peace, it says in another scripture. And Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a peace that passes all understanding that comes from God. But I want you to notice what I finally realized here. Now the God of peace be with you. That's the prayer. God be with you. God be with him. God be with her. We pray that often about people. Lord, be with Brother Jarvis. Lord, be with our kids. Lord, be with them. You know, the thing we need most is God. I just need Him. That's what I need. I need Jesus. I need the Holy Ghost. That's what I need. That Paul said, my prayer is the God of peace be with you all. All of you, that God would be with you. We need God more than anything else. We just need Him. Now, He's a lot of things. He's a God of peace. He's a God of hope. He's a God of patience and consolation. He is everything we need. And so, really, Paul gets to the end of it there, and he says, now the God of peace be with you all. Every one of you, I want God to be with you. I want God to walk with you. I want God to talk with you. I want His presence to be upon you. I want Him to be with you when you lay down. I want Him to be with you when you get up. I want Him with you at every moment of every day. God with us. Paul wanted this for these Christians that he was concerned about. We as parents, we pray that about our kids. We pray that about each other. We need God more than anything else. I need God. When I don't know what I need God to step in. Sometimes we have issues with, Lord, we don't know what needs to be done. We don't know, Lord, we just need you. We need you to show up. We need you to have your way and give us the peace to trust in you. That you are with me. God, none of us are left out. Every one of us are included. Is there some for me? That's what the Syrophoenician woman. Is there just a crumb? Is there just a crumb that I can have for my daughter that doesn't have peace? Is there just a crumb fallen from the master's table? Jesus said, there's no, I've not seen faith like this. And Paul is saying a similar thing. The God of peace be with you all. There's something for every one of us. There's nobody left out. We don't have to come to that place to where we say, is there just something for me? Give me one blessing. That's what Esau said. But it's not that way with God. He's here for all of us. He can give close attention to each and every one of us. Sometimes you go to a place and you feel a little left out. I just don't belong here. I just don't think there's anything here for me. But when it comes to God, there's something for you. There's something for you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Paul's prayer was for God to be with them, and He is with us, and we can count on Him. I'm glad we can look to the Lord in our needs. I'm glad He's a God of hope. He can cause us to abound in hope, and that He is always with us. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for the encouragement that we can have from Your word, that You have the joy and all peace for us. And we just have to put our faith in You and trust You. And the power of the Holy Ghost will make it real. Lord, you are available to all of us. None of us have been left out. It's not by our character. It's not by our abilities that we make ourselves worthy of You and Your presence. But Lord, it's that You are the God of all peace that breaks down the wall of barrier of sin and comes to us in our sin and gives us forgiveness and gives us salvation. And Lord, You're with us to the end of the earth. And I thank You for it. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the hope that we have. Well, everybody's head bowed for a moment.